Stacey and Vicky and Daniel getting together and God working in them.
Let's be great.
Both to will to do of his good pleasure, and for bringing us here, and the believers, and everyone that's contributed, and we're just really very thankful to God. As we was having the fellowship this morning, the songs, the prayers, the manifestation, God was just putting in my heart that God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. And fear will stop you from moving and doing the things that God has called you to do. And every single individual in this room has an assignment. It's not just someone that's ordained to minister, like a gift ministry. Every individual, everyone is very important. And you young people at the back there, you're awesome. And you're going to do great things with God. And God wants you to go to him. And I just see the different ways that God works in each and every one of us. The wonderful expression and song from Mary there, really wonderful. Stacey, great tender man and wonderful heart. And Vicky and Amy. Amy, come on, what is Amy? And Amy and all you guys are just wonderful. I've met some people for the first time. What kept coming to my mind was this. Was Isaiah. No weapon that is made to come against you is going to prosper. And every tongue that rise up against you, okay, you're going to condemn. Okay, you're going to condemn. That's a promise in the Word of God. And this word weaponed, when I look that word weaponed up, it means whatsoever. No whatsoever that is made to come against you is going to prosper. In other words, it's not going to come into full bloom. It's not going to come into full bloom. And God put it in my heart this year for our fellowship at home. I like setting themes. It gives people a focus. And I just said, Father, what is the focus? And it was the just shall live by faith. God also put in my heart that this year, this was going back to the beginning of the year, that God is going to restore the wasted years. God is going to restore the broken fellowships with people. God is going to restore the body of Christ and bring it back together. Okay, God is going to restore your finances, your health, your situations, people that you haven't spoken to for years, people that you love, believers that you may have had disagreements with the Word or how they do things. God is getting that out the way. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And God will have his way. And I've been seeing this come to pass through the year. And I see it escalating very quickly. Through the year, I've had my challenges. Okay, but I'm not glorifying the challenges. I'm letting you know my testimony. And the most powerful thing that you can share and do is your testimony of your life, of how God works with you. Because God is living and real. He's right now watching over this meeting. You've got God in Christ in you right now. And you are powerful people. And see, Satan will have you look at your situations. He'll have you look at your circumstances. And then he'll have you talking about it. He'll give you reasons why. Oh, well, this is not right, so I'm not doing this. And I'm not hanging out with these believers because of this. That's division. That doesn't come from God. That's flesh. It's all flesh. You know, and we can walk by the Spirit of God. We've got the scriptures that show us and point us in that direction. And God wants us to be confident and bold. And he wants, you know, you've got the Spirit of God, so you can discern truth from error. Okay, you can test all things with that Spirit of God. You're powerful people. You've got God's DNA in you. The scriptures show you God's heart. The scriptures show you how he moves. And all from the beginning, he wanted fellowship. What we got right now? He wanted fellowship. Obviously, through the fall of Adam and Eve, that fellowship was broken. The enemy come in with his ideas, his thoughts. And going through this year, July or June 2017, I woke up early one morning and I just felt that I was wide awake, crisp, and I'm usually blessed and happy, but I felt empty. And I'm thinking, what is this? And I went downstairs, I put my coffee cup under the coffee machine and it pressed the button, and I walked to the back door. I said, God bless me. Now, I know I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings, right? I am blessed, but I needed something. And as I walked to the back door, and then the Spirit of God just rose up within me, and the power of God come upon me. It was like within and without, and I was rooted to the spot. And I was like, wow, what's this? And then I just heard a still small voice, say what you want, not what you see. And I'm thinking, say what you want. Not, and no, you're in that moment and God's just energizing and blessing you. Say what you want, not what you see. What do you mean? What do you mean? And then I'm thinking through it. And I realized that I've been confessing and saying my circumstances. I've been saying the problem, thinking that I'm making the things right. Mm. And then I rushed upstairs, and don't forget, it's like 5:30 now, something like this. And I rushed up the stairs, and there's Kim. If you can't hear me, just tell me to do this, right? Okay. So I rushed upstairs, Kim's fast asleep. And I went, love, love, we've been saying what we see, not what we want. She goes, well, what is it? What's going on? And I said, love, love, God just spoke to me. And he just told me that I've been, to say what, I need to say what I want, not what I see. And then God just reminded me of prophets. You know, the prophets, they spoke for God. And God got me going to a scripture. I like someone to go to Amy Battles. Ezra 6:14. And this is the first scripture that I looked up when I looked up the word prophet, prophesying, and all these things. So I began a little journey in the scriptures, right? And so God opens your eyes and understanding to things when you allow him to work in you. So you can't understand the scriptures without that Spirit of God. We may be able to find out a lot of things through research and studying, but unless the Spirit of God enlightens you with a truth that will illuminate your heart and mind to move with him, then it's just knowledge, right?
Right.
And we've got a lot of knowledge. There's a lot of knowledge in this room. There's a lot of understanding from our senses, the things that we can gather through our five sense information, which is good because we need that. And God will draw it out of us at times as well. But without the Spirit of God, you cannot understand the scriptures. You cannot enlighten other people without God anointing that. And when Jesus Christ was baptized, he came out of the water. What happened? He was anointed with the Spirit of God. He was led up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And let me tell you, that is a great record. Matthew 4, a really fantastic record. And God showed me Satan will attack you at the point of your need. He was hungry and thirsty. What did he say? Make these stones what? Bread. He was attacking them at the point of your need. So if you can recognize this, then you can say it is written as well, right? But God activates you at the point of your faith. So God was giving me these little gems that would help me, you know. But if you like to read Ezra 6:14.
Ezra 6:14. And the elders of the Jews build it. And they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it, according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and
Xerxes,
king of Persia. Keep going.
Yeah, just that one first.
Okay,
yeah. Is that finished? Mm-hmm. God of Israel, our Heavenly Father, gave them commandments to build, and then there was other commandments they had to follow, but it was through the prophesying of the prophets that they builded and prospered. And this word prophesying, when you look it up, means inspired teachings. And I think it's the only word that you'll find, Hebrew word you find in the record, because I tried to look for other records to corroborate with that. So it was through the inspired teachings of the prophets. So God was working them in live time to encourage these guys to build. And they prospered as they followed that direction. See? As they followed that direction. So there was commandments from God. There were certain things they had to do. As they were encouraged by the prophets that were using what? The Spirit of God. They prospered. Mm-hmm. And it's the same today. Nothing's changed. In fact, it's greater today. Mm-hmm. Like, I know the scriptures, and I read my Bible, I study it, I work things, and I'm very blessed, and I love doing that, and I will always do that. But I know in front of people, I need to give people God. I don't want to give people my knowledge. Because when you give people what God puts in your heart, then needs get met.
Right.
Can you see? Needs get met. Now, I printed off, I done a class from this. God started to bring me simply back to Mark 11:22-23 and 24 about speaking unto the mountains. Mountains in the Bible refer to problems, right? And I just started to work the scriptures, and I was very blessed because after I'd done this class, I then come across a guy called Charles Capps, and I realized it was near enough the same stuff. Like, wow, so like God wants people to know about what you say. Okay, so the word of God is first in your mouth, then in your heart. And then God showed me another little neat thing in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, if you want to read that, Amy.
Okay, Joshua
1, verse 9.
Okay.
And I didn't plan the presentation of this morning. I'm letting God work within me, both to will and to do of what? His good pleasure.
Yeah.
And when we do that, knees get met.
Right.
And God was also showing me when I was there, I had my eyes closed praying, that there's circulation problems that need to be ministered to today. And there's other needs with people's hands and wrists and stuff like this. Just come into my mind. If you've got any of that, go and see someone that can minister to you. We can all minister with the power of God. Don't walk away today without your need being met. Because today it's going to be met. It really is. It's going to be met. And I know that with all my heart, soul, mind and strength. And how you receive is by faith. And this is why I'm teaching on faith today and confession. Because it's very important. And I didn't know this morning what I was going to do. I didn't know how long I had. But I said, God, what do you want me to do? And the first thing he put was fear. That God has not given you a spirit of fear. Okay.
Okay, Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Now, might be the first about where it says meditate in the word day and night? Yeah, read first 8 as well.
Okay, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So it's like, from when I read that, without understanding, I'm thinking, oh, I've just got to read and keep it to myself. But when you look at the word meditate, it means to mutter, to say, to speak. And so Joshua was to speak the word to himself, to remind him, to give life from his mouth. And that's what God wants us to do. So, you know, we say what God says. We don't say what the situation says. In Romans 5:17, God says that he calls those things not as though they were. He calls it light be. So light was. When you got lack, I've got no money, I can't do it, I can't come to this event. I can't be a full-time minister because I haven't got no money. I got no people coming to my fellowship. How can I be a full-time minister? Listen, if God has called you to do something, that's where the faith comes. That's where you step out and you believe God. Then he provides. Believe me, we live this way, right? And I just want to backtrack a little bit. Can you hear? No? I just want to backtrack a little bit. Is that, let me stand up. I come forward a little bit, that's better. So, going back, we had a fellowship and we had loads of adults come in. They're all PFL grads and stuff like that, like myself, and we'd done the affairs class. And they said, we need an ordained minister if things are going to happen here, like, you know. And everyone kept looking to me. I said, well, I'm not an ordained minister. Like, you know, this is the mindset. And then, anyway, to cut a long story short, I got ordained. Everyone disappeared. And we were left with loads of youth. And then as we continued the fellowship, I said, Kim, God's put it in my heart to go full time. No, to live for him, to give up my job. I know there's no word full time in the scriptures, but you know what I'm saying. It's a word that in our day and time that communicates to you that we live unto God. And I'm thinking, oh dear, you know, I know this is going to be a problem. Not that I'm giving up my work, but it's going to be a problem with the young lady back there. And she said, Lawrence, are you mad? I said, what do you mean am I mad? She goes, well, God just don't throw money out of the sky. You need to get a life. And I said, well, love, it's really in my heart. And then time went on. And then basically we would start to argue about it. And then one day we had this massive argument and Kim went. She went out of the house and Leanne was with me at the time. And she said, Dad, like, you know, God, how are you going to have your knees met? I can understand how Mum's feeling. But as we were talking, a picture came in my mind of Kim being in a field at the back of our house. There's a massive, loads of different fields. And it was a particular field, and she was sat down crying. It was like a whole picture with pills. And I said, Leanne, come with me now. We're going to find your mother. And we walked more, and she said to me afterwards, Leanne, she was really scared. She thought I lost my mind. And as I walked to this field, there she was with a handbag with these pills, and she was going to take them because she didn't want to stop me from doing what God had called me to do, but she didn't know how we were going to live. And it was really that serious. So I come up and knocked these pills out. I said, what are you doing? You know, and we started to walk, and I said, listen, you've got to really trust God. I said, you know, all the time that we've been believers and we've been going through stuff, hasn't God always come through for us? And she said, well, love, I don't know. I don't want you to stop doing what God puts in your heart. But she goes, I'm going to go to work and I'll support you. I said, no, God is going to support us. And I said, actually, God wants you to give up your work. Anyway, so she said, well, she goes, I'm not promising you anything, but I will pray and I'll support you. And so this went on. And then I met Sangit Bains in 2003. And this was like 2005 now. And I found that he was going to do his class in Oxford. And I didn't even know there was believers in Oxford. So I rung up, I managed to get their number, rung up the people and said, can we come down? And they said, well, you can come down on the teaching that he's going to finish off on the Sunday. And that very night, I was so excited to see this guy again because he really touched our life. When we met him in 2003, he came to our house and stayed overnight. And I had 2 hours sleep, but I had a dream from God. It was a dream from God, and it was like tangible, just like I'm touching your arm now. I can remember every single detail. I'm not going to tell you every single detail because there's still stuff to come to pass yet. But the things that he showed me has come to pass, and I woke up and I knew that I was going to be a full-time minister today. That this was the day, it was a Sunday in June, I was going to give up my work. And I woke up and I couldn't even speak. I was like, are you right, love? Yeah, I've had a dream. What do you mean you've had a dream? God gave me a dream. I can't speak now, just leave me. And it was like I had an eagle inside, the song I sung. Yeah. And you know, when you're so blessed, you've got this presence inside you of the Spirit of God, and it's like wants to burst out. Yeah. And we drove all the way up to Oxford, and I'm like, people probably thought I lost the plot or something, you know. So we get to the Holiday Inn down there, and then Sangit, so I went, hi Sangit, and he went, oh hello, and carried on walking. And I thought, oh, that's a bit strange, you know. He obviously must have forgot about me. But we went in there, but it wasn't about him, it was about God. And the connections. God will connect you to the people you need to be connected to, so he can fulfill his mission within you. And so we was in the meeting, and then he just got up and he said, God's looking for full-time ministers, those that will live fully unto him to do his work. Now Sangit goes, to do his work. and I'm glued, and I knew that this teaching was not for anyone else, and it was for me. Like, you could took everyone out of that room, it was just for me. It was like a one-on-one with God speaking through a prophet to me. That's how I felt. And then Kim looked at me and I said, love, you know, today this is it. We begin with God. And she goes, well, I know. So God had been working in her heart, and she was so blessed to do it. And we didn't, like I said, we didn't know the people. There are lots of people exchanged telephone numbers. And we come back, and she goes, I'd like to see how God, because we got behind on our rent. We was £1,000 behind on our rent. And she goes, I'd like to see how God's going to meet this one then. Like the little knocks and the little insecurities. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'd like to see how God's going to meet this one. So we had a phone call like the very next day from Deborah Bernstein. I don't know if any of you know her. And she's a wonderful believer. And she said, God's put it in my heart that, you know, you're going to live for him. And I want to start supporting you. She was the very first person. So from the very first day that he showed me to go full time, he had someone there. So anyway, me and Kim was looking at this £1,000 debt. We had a letter come through and, look, you're going to court next Friday. If you haven't made payment by that court date, you're going to lose your home. Well, we still got kids and everything at home. And so we prayed, and I said, Father, if you are going to meet this need, you need to send me cash, because a cheque will take 7 days to clear in the bank. I was pretty, just like that, just like I'm talking to you is how I talk to God, right? And I said, it's going to take 7 days to clear in the bank, and we're going to miss the deadline. So I don't know how you're going to do it, but I thank you that you're going to do it. Wednesday came. This was Monday, right? So Wednesday came, knock at the door, and it was FedEx. And they handed me this bag. I'm looking, and I signed for it, I opened the bag. Inside the bag was a shoebox. Inside the shoebox was loads of foam. In the middle of that foam was an envelope with £50 notes totaling £1,000. And we still didn't know it had come from at that time. And it was a couple of days later, Debbie Bernstein actually said, "Did you receive the money I sent you?" I said, "Oh, it was you." He said, "Yeah, God told me that you really needed it." Right, so she was really walking with the Father. And so we went to court and we paid it there and then on that day, and everything's been fine since that time. You know, but God just works and touches people's hearts to get your need met, whatever it is, whether it's finances, whether it's health, whether you need a word spoken into your life. You know, God is faithful. He's a faithful God. And listen, you don't have to give up your job for God to meet your need like He meets mine. You could be working, okay, but you might not have enough money to cover your needs, or you might just be getting by. But God will take care of your needs just the same as He takes care of mine. Okay, and He can do it on a regular basis too. And it's just having confidence in Him and not looking at people. Sometimes, you know, like in this business with God, like, you know, your mind can be dropped. Well, they're not supporting me no more, and get discouraged. But then God always give you a word, like, you know, "No, what are you doing? Why are you looking over there?" So, you know, so 13 years full time ministry we've been in. And God has blessed us, and we've had our challenging times. And like I say, for the last 4 years, I've done travelling to Norway and Finland and Germany, but not anywhere else. And it's been quite a lonely time, but it's been a great time of getting that into relationship with the Father. See, your relationship with God will reflect in your relationship to others and how you do things. And from that time, I spent loads of time in the scriptures, and God was just showing me different things, putting teachings together, just being a blessing. And I have the website, and I've been putting loads of teachings on there. Many people that I don't know, or even from kind of our background, have been connecting. And then, so when we do what God shows us to do, then great things will happen. You need to see yourself ministering to God's people. See yourself traveling the world. And what's your greatest desire? See, and don't let age come into it. That's okay. Don't let age come into it. Moses began when? How old was he? 80? Yeah. 80 years old, right? And look what God done for him. God always wants a relationship with you, always. When He spoke to the children of Israel, they got scared at His voice, so they wanted it to do through Moses. So God will give you what you desire, even if it isn't what He wants for you. Oh, you want that? Okay. We'll speak through Moses. Then Samuel's sons weren't doing very good, and they went to him and they said, you know, we want kings. And Samuel was displeased, and he went to God. He said, "No, give them what they want. What do you want? How have you been believing? How do you see your God? Is He just your God? Is He your Father? Your relationship with Him?" See, Jesus Christ walked in relationship with God. He had a living relationship, and He kept His focus on God. And we can, because we got Christ in us. We won't know everything, because we see through a glass darkly, but we will have everything that we need to encourage one another. We've been called to one body. Okay, so where all these splits and divisions have happened because of doctrine and because of this, or attitudes or personality, God's healing this. And you're even if you're sat here, if someone's sat here thinking right now, "Well, I'm never going to connect with these people or this person again," God's going to change it for you. Watch, it'll happen. What I'm saying will happen. And I believe what I say. If you believe in your heart and say it with your mouth and you doubt not, you'll have whatsoever you say. So I just want to go through this kind of background. I just want to go through a few of the scriptures in my opening session on this faith and confession seminar. It's free on my website. There's a video where I done it, where I taught it in Norway, and there's the audio files. But the great thing about this class is that when I went to Norway, I just read from my syllabus. It wasn't like inspirational teaching, because God already inspired me to get it down. Okay, but the people there cried. And there was healing, and there was deliverance. So there's no format with God. There's no law. Okay, because people like to put laws on things. Well, you've got to stick just only to the scripture. You've got to stick only speaking by the Spirit. Listen, if God puts in my heart to speak by the Spirit, I'm going to speak by the Spirit. If God shows me to open up the scriptures, I will open up the scriptures. We do what God shows us to do. So don't let these things affect your fellowship with God and with other people, because you'll get bound up in knots. I know, I was.
Mm.
Okay, I was. I was like, oh no, I don't agree with that, and I don't agree with that. And then I try to address it, making it a lot worse, because God can sort these things out.
Yeah.
Do you know our job is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and it's to love one another. That's what it's all about, guys. Is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and to love your neighbour, key thing, as yourself. How do you love yourself? How you treat people is how you treat yourself. Really think about that. To love your neighbour as you love yourself. Do you love yourself? If you don't love yourself, it's because you're looking at your old man nature. But when you begin to see what God has done for you and the Christ in you, then you'll love yourself, because you know it's not come from you, it's come from God. He first loved us so that we can love him. And we serve each other by love. Love energizes faith. But no knowledge, what? Puffs up.
Yeah.
And it's the demonstration of the spirit of power that makes known the living God and brings deliverance to people's hearts, minds and lives. Yeah. I'm speaking by the Spirit right now, but I've got the scriptures too. The scriptures are printed out, alright? So, there's no law. If you want to read the Bible, read the Bible. If you want to study the Bible, study the Bible. Don't make a law out of things. Just let God work in you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So, some people might even say I'm wrong in what I'm saying, but I don't care. God's still blessing me, and people are still getting ministered to in their hearts and their minds. And I'm not to be a people pleaser, I'm to please the Father. Jesus Christ always done what the Father put in his heart to do, and he always spoke what the Father put in his mouth to say, right? Jesus Christ opened the scriptures once, that's recorded, that we know about. He referred to the scriptures many times, and I'm doing the same right now, no difference. And I could do it because I got what? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Do you have Christ in you?
Yes.
Yes, so you can do the same. Am I better than you? No. Are we the same? Yes. How does God see you? He sees Christ.
Yes.
He sees Christ. Is Christ in you, the hope of glory? So never put yourself down. Don't compare one another to another. That's five senses. When we're comparing ourselves with other people or other ministries or what's going on, then it's senses. Now, I've looked at many ministries over this last 4 years. I've kind of looked at T.G. Jakes, great, wonderful man, can share some really great, wonderful truths. Joyce Myers is great. Some of the stuff Joel Osteen teaches is really fantastic. There's lots of great things that God is working in people's hearts, but we put labels on everything, and it has to be a certain way. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And God is working you. Have great confidence in your God. Then you'll have great confidence in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
See, because you know that the ability that is working in you is God's ability. And God is energizing that. And you can do all things through him, which is empowering you, supplying to you what you need. And it's just really, it is freedom. And when I come to the camp in Atlanta, with Daniel was there, I've been in fellowships and meetings around the world. Sometimes I'm there, I'm thinking, who do they think they are? And you know that wrong thinking that comes in? You try to fight it, and I don't want to think like that, God, you know. There was none of that. Because, should I tell you why? Because people were walking by the Spirit of God, and I knew it straight away. And God prepared my heart when I come over, and God put in my heart this thought on the plane. I'm so thankful you guys called us over. You know, God works in your heart, and you listen. And God says, be all things to all men.
Yes.
You know, and like, just meditate upon that yourself. What can you do to lift another brother or sister up? What can you do? And when we do what he shows us to do, great things are going to happen. Great multiplication of growth and outreach is going to happen here. Just like we see in India, just like we see in Nepal, it's available. We just need to be ready in our hearts and minds and ready to do what God puts in our heart to do. And we encourage people. We don't have to isolate ourselves from one another, but connect yourself to someone that's hot. You know, catch the fire type of thing, you know. It's in you anyway, it just needs, the fire needs to be, fanned so it can come up. But I want you to go to Romans 1:16. How long have I got, Stacey? Okay, carry on. Okay, so this was, I'll go through some of this. It's called The Just Shall Live by Faith. It's session one of the Faith for Confession seminar. Like I said, it's on the website. There's the video version, there's the audio version. And everything is on there. So, and it's also on my YouTube channel, which I can't. I have to have a YouTube channel. It's not CNN or Fox News. It's Lawrence Todd in the search, and it'll come up. Okay. And I've also put down, if you go to my, on my website, and if you're friends with me on Facebook, I also do it so that you can download the audio teachings to a podcast.
Yes.
So a lot of people do that now, so it's a great blessing. And I didn't never know I could do a website and make all these things available, but God brought that in my heart, and God will do with it what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He'll lead whoever he wants there to go. Not everyone will go to it, you know, but there will be people that will go there that need to go there. So this is no coincidence that we're connecting now, right? God's designed this day for your need to be met. And God wants you to get rid of any fear. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Young people, like I said, you're going to really move for God. You kids, like, bless your heart, I was in your shoes. I've been through the tough time. I had a bad background. But God can change your life when you just say, yes, God. And then just let him do the work. You know, when we get ourselves involved, then we kind of mess the work up a little bit. And God's got to reschedule everything for us. But he's a loving God, and he does. So in Romans 1:16 it says, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This gospel is good news. So Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the good news concerning Jesus Christ. That's how it could be read also. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, wholeness, deliverance in every area of life, spiritually, mentally, physically, in every category. And God really opened up Romans 8 chapter 1 verses 8 chapter Romans chapter 8 verses 1 and 2, because where it says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Well, I used to think it was, if I broke fellowship with God, I didn't have to condemn myself. If I done something wrong, I don't have to condemn myself. Well, it is a little part of that, but it's bigger than that. And God really showed me that when someone gets ill, they're sick, they start to confess scriptures. And God showed me how it worked. And I was just so blessed. And it comes into line with this faith and confession. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We were always taught that when you renew your mind, you're in Christ. Listen, if you've got the Spirit of God, you are in Christ. When you understand that, it's total freedom.
Right.
And then in verse 2 it goes, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And I asked God what that meant, and he said, well, at the fall, Adam and Eve, sin entered into the world. With that, poverty, sickness, lack, disease, everything come in. That is the law of sin and death. When you start speaking the world's way and what your circumstances says and what the devil says, then you're activating in your life the law of sin and death. But when you start saying what God says and allow him to work in you, and you don't focus on the situation, you activate that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So when someone is sick and they start getting the healing scriptures and they start to confess and believe, they're activating the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, where there's no sickness, where there's no lack, where there's no disease. And it just blew me away. And it really blew me away. So again, when you start speaking what your circumstances says, what the devil says, what other people may say, and it's not what God says, you activate that law of sin and death. Can you see? And if you can't see it, ask God to give you a revelation of it, because he will open it up to you and it'll change your life. Because it actually really changed my life. When we walk by the five senses, it is death. Okay? Where there's no peace. There's no direction. But when we walk by the Spirit, there's life and peace. That life, which that Zoe life, which Jesus Christ made available. So it's very simple. And like I said at the camp, the devil is a liar.
Yeah.
If you're going to die, you're going to die. Someone's pronounced death over you. What does God say? What does the report of God say? See, we believe the report of, you know, the Financial Times. We believe the report of the doctors and hospitals. We need to start believing the report of God. And sometimes we might be shocked with some of the things that we hear, and it might temporarily freeze you.
Yeah.
Okay, but when you bring it back to what God says in his word and the promises, that song Daniel sung about the promises of God.
Right.
See, if you don't know the scriptures, how do you know the promises of God? There's a balance. There's no, God works these things. So when you know what God says, then you can claim them. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When it looks like we haven't got our need met, that's what I say. God is able to abound all grace towards me. He's my sufficiency in all things. These things, if God wants you to say his word. He wants you to call those things which are not as though they were. Finances be. Abundance be. Healing be. Deliverance be. Fellowship. Multiply. Mm-hmm. Multiply. Jesus Christ cursed the tree, didn't it? And it died backwards. Yeah? It died. He spoke to it. Oh, there's not many people that come to my fellowship. It's just, you know, people are just not interested. You know, and we're in the West, so it can't grow like in India and Nepal. Alright, there might be different variables there. But at the same time, if you're walking by the Spirit of God and you're allowing him to work in you, and you've got some boldness there, it will. Okay? God wants to get that increase. He wants you to have, you know, an explosion of people that have a desire to live for him. And then the next thing we do, we put them through a load of classes. No, you connect them to the living God. How many classes did Jesus give the disciples? Now, I put this class together, not to make another class, but I just understood this was very important about what we say, because I used to speak against the thing that God done me, was doing in my life. I didn't realize it, you know, until God just woke me up. You've been saying, so your ground is dry. Stagnant pools. And in Jeremiah we know that God is the fountains of living water. He said, my people have forsaken me. He didn't say my people have forsaken my scriptures or my prophets. He said they've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. So if you want all your needs met, you get in relationship with God, because you've got the connection. Christ is the connector, right? We got direct access to the Most High God. And you can come boldly before his throne of grace to find mercy and help in the time of need. So we need to use that connection. If you had direct access to President Trump, right, or whoever you like, I'm not getting into politics here, but if you knew that you could ring up your president and tell him what you wanted and that he would do something about it because you've asked him, would you be picking that phone up? I know you would. Right? You'd be saying, Trump, now we need to see this happen in our area, you know, and he'd go ahead and do it, right? So you've got a bigger relationship with God, the creators of the heaven and the earth, who designed you, who knows how to provide for you, who knows how to heal you. See, no, God is for us, and we just need to have a desire and expectation and ask God, what is it you called me specifically to do? Is it just to go to fellowship and encourage people there? It's bigger than that. It is bigger than that. The fellowship is important. You know, God wants us together. But what are you doing in your individual life, in your home, you know, when you go away from the fellowship of people, what are you doing in fellowship with God? And you can have fun. You know, and even though I went through a tough time the last few years, because I was getting my direction, it's only because I took my eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. I took my eyes off the promises, but God was so great. And some mornings I wake up and I think, oh, not another day. And all of a sudden I just have the peace of God come all over me. I'm like, I'm sorry, Father. You know, I was leaning that way. I was just about to say what I see rather than say what you say about it. So it's really great. And again, then we can also have preconceived ideas. So for an example, because we haven't seen people in the, you know, like in the US for a long time, I'm thinking, oh, they probably don't like us. They're probably thinking, what's he teaching? What's he doing? Have you had those thoughts about people? It's Satan. That is the voice of Satan. We've got to be careful what voice we're listening to. And when I come over and people, Lawrence, oh, Kim. And I was just so touched. And I'm thinking, my God, I listened to the lie. I nearly bought into it. And one believer blessed me so much. They come up to me and I never seen this man cry or anything. But he said, I'm so blessed you're here. And he just cried. I'm like, you cried? Over me? Like, but it was just the love of God in his heart, and it really touched my life. Made me tremble inside. I was trembling inside, not with fear, but with touched, and you know, like it was the love of God. And, you know, so your words are so important. You know, just looking at someone and say, I love you, man, you know. And there's nothing attached to it. Now, we don't do things to get something, but we do to be a blessing. Anyway, it's gone to the next one. I'm chatting too much now. So. And I didn't even know what I was going to say today. You know, it's crazy. I got Romans, verse 17 says, for therein... Oh yeah, let's finish Romans 1:16. So it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that doubts and question. No, to believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As you believe, it's revealed to you. You begin to understand this righteousness, this sanctification, this justification, who you are in Christ. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And to live by faith is not to live by what you see. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, real genuine faith is that we see what we desire with the heart, and then we say we believe that we've already received it. You couple that with Mark 11, if you can go there, Mark 11, and read 22, 23 and 24 for me, please. Hebrews 11:1, if you want to understand it, because some people get a little bit confused with it, just read Mark 11, 22, 23 and 24, and that's what it means.
Okay. Mark 11, verse 22.
Yeah.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say
Stop.
Unto this mountain...
Whosoever.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever. And we've learned, whosoever means what?
Whosoever.
Whosoever, yeah. Carry on.
That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Okay, right, so we'll read the next verse in a minute. So, whosoever shall say unto this problem, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall believe in the heart, right? He shall have whatsoever he what? Saith. Okay, so we know Romans 10:9-10. We believe in our heart, we say with our mouth. That's how it works. The word first has to be in your mouth. Then it will be transferred to your heart. Right? And then when you say it, you believe it because you've built it in your heart. Right? So when you look at your old man nature, you can really say with conviction, yeah, I was brought up this way and blah, blah, blah. And you believe it, right? There's no doubt. And so that's how we get God's word synchronized with our, you know, confession. You say it, then you believe it, get down in there. And then when you speak it, it's powerful because you once it's built in that heart, you know that it's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to happen, but it happens, right? If you read 24.
Yes. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them.
What things soever you desire. What do you desire? And this word desire, I looked up. And it can also be translated, therefore whatsoever things that you call for.
Mm-hmm.
See? So your words are very powerful. What are you calling to you? Are you calling the doctor's report over what God says?
Right.
Are you recalling your bank balance over what God says? Those five senses were designed to keep us in a place of lack. And God's given us his word and his spirit so that we can release his power into the senses realm. And so that's what God wants you to do. Right, God today is saying, watch your words. Build your heart with his word. And let him work in you. You know, when you lie down, you are blessed. When you rise up, you're blessed. When you go out, you're blessed. When you go to the field, you're blessed. When you go to the city, you're blessed. You're blessed in the fruit of your body. That's what the scriptures say, right? No, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, according as your soul prosper. It depends upon the word you put in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those that love it should eat the fruit thereof. Doesn't that show you something? God broke it down for me, said Lawrence. Fruit. Where does fruit come from? A seed. So your word's a seed.
So whatever you're saying, negative or positive, will come back to you. The more you confess negative stuff, you're going to get more of the same. The more you confess what God says, you're going to get more of what God wants you to have. Matthew 13, God talks about the sower and the seed. Wonderful record. Just have a quick read of Matthew 13, not where he gives the explanation of it. You know, I think it's verse 18, is it, or something like that, when he reveals the parable.
This is in the NIV. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
Right, so the word of God is what? Seed.
Seed.
Okay, so you know people that speak God's word. You'll know they're speaking God's word. You'll know if they're walking by the Spirit. What's in you? Incorruptible what?
Seed.
And it's growing in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Read Galatians 2:20 for me, Amy, please. Great records. These are great records. And you can trace this all the way through the scripture, what I'm saying to you. Everywhere. And there's some more great records about confession in Proverbs 18. Not just death and life and power of the tongue. If you read the whole lot of it, it's brilliant.
Galatians 2:20, NIV, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yeah, so we don't live after the flesh, you know. We say what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. So all these wonderful things, like the word of God is filled with this encouragement, you know, about saying what God says and getting a different harvest. What harvest have you been receiving lately? Once you change that seed, you're going to get a great harvest, and it's going to bless you. It's going to bless your family. It's going to bless your health and strength, your finances, your relationships. And it's going to be a witness unto God. It's going to bring deliverance to people. And you are powerful people. God is working in you. Don't get hung up on doctrine. Really, don't get hung up on doctrine. It's a killer. Look what he's done for all these years, right? Do you want to continue that way? We haven't got time. We got to get out there and start moving the word. You know, and God will work in you to do that. He provides everything for us. He supplies everything. And that means there's nothing coming from us. No methods, no this way, that way. And God's working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That, like I said, if there's any needs here today, whether it's spiritual, mental, physical, come and get your need met. Don't leave this room tonight without your need being met, because it will get met. And I've sown that seed of what God is saying to your heart. And God can make that seed really grow quick when you start fertilizing it by coming in agreement with it. So that's what I want to share. So God bless you.